with conclusions with regard to this particular subject and decide to rearrange your life in some way, and only to find out when we get to another aspect of the subject in session 4 or 5 or 6 that there were some counter considerations that really should have been considered at the time you made this decision. The point I'm getting at, of course, is that all of the material in the course is one great package, a package that will naturally be presented in pieces, but still the pieces must fit together properly at the end to be of any value to you. Now, while the material presented herein is a philosophy that I have lived with for many years of my life, there are certainly a great number of individuals whom I've encountered along the way who have helped me considerably to develop a better understanding of this material, to see new insights into it, and hardest of all, to communicate it. And I want to call attention to those few out of the many whom I feel have played the most important part in the development of this material. I'm particularly grateful to Mildred Progar, David Curry, Ayn Rand, and Marion Landers. Now, where any of these individuals have called my attention to a particular point that I can label, thusly, I will do so during the course. Two other individuals, Tom Sanders and Joan Hall, have been particularly helpful to me in stimulating my ability to communicate these ideas, as well as in sanding down the rough edges. And with regard to the precision of presentation, I'm very grateful to Alvin Loi and to Andrew Galambos. Now, needless to say, whether you consider the material to be right or wrong, these individuals are not to be held responsible. Even when I pass on directly to you a point that I have gotten from someone else and so label it, I may not do it justice. In fact, I may not say it in the way that that individual would and may attach a wholly new meaning to it without realizing it. Also, American Way Features, the financial sponsor of this course, is not responsible for the ideas or endorsing the conclusions in any way. So where are we going to begin then? Well, of course, we're going to have to go back and start at the beginning. Attempting to rule out any previously used conclusions for the moment and search for some premises upon which we can start building a philosophy of life, a profitable philosophy of life that can be used here and now in every day of an individual's life. We have to start with something that you can peg this entire philosophy around, something that makes sense to you that your mind can utilize and work with profitably. And there's certainly no better way to start, I think, than by recognizing the state of man at his birth, at the very beginning. Because a man is born into the world naked, physically and mentally naked. He has no knowledge, no morality, no goals, no standards, no values, no nothing. How could he? He hasn't yet soaked up any of the ideas that someday he will expound upon. And he has not yet been told by anyone what is right or what is wrong. And he certainly has developed no deep theories on the meaning of life or how to live life. The knowledge that he is someday going to talk about will be knowledge that will come to him in the future through observations of the world around him. But as he arrives, none of that exists in his mind. He knows not where he came from, where he's going, or how he's going to get there. All he has to guide him are his feelings. And by his feelings, I mean his mental reaction to what enters his world through the 5 physical senses. He will hear, smell, taste, feel, see things. But none of these things may have any significance to him whatsoever until he reacts to them. By what standard is he going to react to what he acquires through his 5 physical senses? Well, his mind has a built-in standard, because he will quickly come to recognize within himself 2 diametrically opposed states of consciousness, the feeling of well-being and the feeling of discomfort. Now, I have no way of explaining how these phenomena are created physically in the brain, and of course neither is he when he first experiences them, but that isn't really important anyway. What is important is the simple fact of life that he recognizes that there are 2 different states of consciousness that he can feel. For whatever reason he is here, he becomes aware of the difference in his own mental attitude towards the environment around him. And that difference is spelled out in the feeling of mental well-being that he experiences at one time and the mental feeling of discomfort that he feels at another time. He notices that hunger creates a physical reaction in his stomach, which gives him a mental feeling of discomfort, and he registers the fact that he doesn't like that as a result and would rather not be hungry. He recognizes that other things affect him, either with a feeling of well-being or discomfort. Now, his mind is making the judgment for him, and he's going to react to the circumstances by automatically gravitating towards those circumstances that he feels will give him this feeling of well-being. And of course, he will try to stay away from anything that creates this feeling of discomfort or uneasiness within him. And from that point onward, the individual's purpose is established.